Are you curious about the economic forces shaping your daily life? The Planet Money podcast from NPR makes sense of the economy in ways you'll actually understand and enjoy. Guys, you love listening to the rundowns. I get some of that information from this NPR Planet Money podcast, especially recently with the war going on, the Strait of Hormuz. You're just kind of getting those updates as they come from these guys. They put out a ton of awesome content. It's a different perspective from Crypto 101, but still a great listen. So go over there and check out the Planet Money podcast if stuff like current events and the finance world interest you. Each story on Planet Money starts with a question. Recent episodes ask why Pokemon cards are growing faster than your retirement account. Questions about the war, just like we talked about recently a lot on our program. From the job market to the stock market to prices at the supermarket, Planet Money explains it all. Planet Money is a different kind of world where the complex economy somehow makes sense, where human stories supersede abstract theories so you can learn, laugh, and be entertained. It's econ, but just down to earth. The hosts go to unusual lengths to explain the economy. They've published their own book to track the global supply chain. They've shot a satellite into space to understand the economics of the private space industry. They've gone inside a live book auction to show how ideas get to market. It's the kind of show where you learn something, probably laugh, and walk away seeing the world a little differently. And I think if you like Crypto 101, you'll enjoy Planet Money. So maybe check that out. Follow NPR's Planet Money podcast and understand how money shapes the world. If you've been sitting on a business idea, Shopify is the place where you can actually make it real. The thing I like about Shopify is it takes the scary part out of starting. You're not just sitting there trying to figure out a website, payments, checkout, inventory, all these little things that stop people before they even launch. When I think about building a storefront, the biggest thing is friction. You want someone to land on your page, like what you're selling, and be able to buy without getting stuck. That's where Shopify is huge. Shopify checkout is built to help more customers finish their purchase. And when they come back, their details are already saved. One tap and they're done. The cool part is Shopify powers millions of businesses worldwide, from huge brands that you know, like Mattel and Gymshark, to small businesses just getting started. So whether you're building the next big brand or launching your first product, the infrastructure is already there. Once that part is handled, you can focus on the real work, building the brand, getting attention, and bringing people to your storefront so the business can grow. That moment when someone actually buys, that's when the idea becomes real. With Shopify, nothing stands between your idea and a real business, so go make it one. Start your free trial today at shopify.com/crypto101. That's a free trial at shopify.com/crypto101.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Crypto 101 podcast. We hope everyone is having a good morning or evening, because no matter where you're coming in from in the world, you're certainly in the right place here today. Man, the crypto market has been wild lately. Let me tell you what, we have seen all sorts of new volatility. It's been a pretty wild, rough year so far, right? Some pretty big moves down. But despite that, we always like to call these the builders markets, because the ecosystems and the projects inside of cryptos continue to be built. The backends continue to grow. We see all sorts of new technologies and upgrades and updates. And we love talking to founders and different industry leaders about what's going on behind the scenes. And that's exactly what we're going to do here today. So today we're joined here by Keene Gilbert. He is the head of institutional relations for Lido, for Lido's Ecosystem Foundation. Keene, it's good to have you, and thank you for coming on.
Brandon, thank you so much for having me. You're very kind.
Absolutely. This is going to be an exciting one. I think a lot of the listeners out there, they've probably heard of Lido before. Brief introduction, on Ethereum, you can do something called staking, right? In fact, a number of years ago, Ethereum switched over from being a proof of work blockchain and a proof of work consensus mechanism to being a proof of stake blockchain and a proof of stake consensus mechanism. Now, we'll talk about what this means, but inside of that, you know, if you want to stake natively on Ethereum, you have to have quite a few Ethereum. I think it's around 32 right now. And for the average investor, you look at that and you go, man, 32 Ethereum times its current trading price of around, you know, $1,500 to $2,000. It's not cheap. And so that's where something like Lido comes in, where you can actually stake at substantially smaller amounts. You can make sure that your funds are liquid so that you can interact with DeFi and stuff. But that's really where Lido comes in here, is just the dominant player in the liquid staking space. So I know I'm not going to do it justice. So Keene, Once again, thank you for coming in here. Just introduce us to what Lido is and how it kind of works and what its role is inside the Ethereum ecosystem.
Sure, and to be honest, Brian, I think you've hit most of the nails on the head, to be honest. So it's fantastic. But effectively, like Lido, like you mentioned, is the largest liquid staking provider. So effectively, people take their ETH, they come stake it to Lido's middleware, and in return, they're given STETH or STETH. And you can effectively think of STETH as like a certificate of deposit. And Lido is really trying to address probably two main pain points: liquidity and capital efficiency. So one of the main issues with native staking is you're basically taking your ETH, you're locking it away effectively in escrow, but when it's in escrow, you can't transfer it. So that's where the liquid staking token comes in, which is STETH. So you can effectively take your STETH token, deploy it into DeFi, use it as collateral, borrow against it, or ultimately, if you want to get out of your ETH position and not have to wait in the exit queue, you can instantly swap your STETH into stables. Where we're probably seeing a huge amount of interest right now is more on the entry side. So, again, for context for your listeners, there is an entry queue before you can start earning rewards on your ETH. And I think the entry queue right now is around 53, maybe 54 days. So that's
Wow.
54 days where you're not actually earning staking rewards. Whereas with Lido, the minute you start staking your ETH, you get staking rewards within one day. So that's incredibly attractive when I'm speaking to different institutional clients where they may not want to rotate their ETH or they want to start earning rewards quicker. That's what Lido effectively offers.
Yeah, I think that's important to understand because I was just at, we have these in-person events and little conferences. And I had someone come up to me and they were asking me about Lido. We actually did a little bit of a presentation. I did a one of those tutorials and walkthroughs of how to partake in Lido and specifically the liquid staking side. And afterwards, people came up, they were super interested and they had a number of questions because when you look at staking, people have a couple of different ways of approaching it. Either A, they take the easy route, they go onto an exchange, they stake through there, and that's fine. You usually get pretty good security. And the caveat or maybe the downside is that the exchanges are going to take a bigger piece of the pie. They're going to say, hey, we're going to make it convenient. We're going to make it easy. We're going to make sure you don't mess things up for yourself, but we're going to take a little bit of your rewards. And so some people go, well, I'm pretty smart. I can do this myself. So then they want to stake natively. And, I think that's where some speed bumps come in for Ethereum because it's going to say, hey, it's like you said, there's a queue, there's a delay, it takes a little bit longer. Your funds are not liquid. They're locked up once they're inside of this. And then on top of that, you got to have, I think it's close to like what, almost $50,000 in Ethereum to kind of meet the bottom threshold. So that kind of removes a whole nother group of people, people who say, hey, I have some money in Ethereum, but I don't got, 50,000 or close to that. I don't have 32 Ethereum in Ethereum. So that kind of removes another group of people. And then there's the people who say, I want to go into liquid staking, which I think really captures the most attention because it's saying, hey, we're not going to take massive amounts like the exchanges will. We're not going to take significant amounts. And you're also going to have these funds and this token that goes along with them called the liquid staking token, which is the STETH or the STETH. And for people who don't understand what the ST means, I already know people that are listening are going to go, STETH? What does that mean? STETH? Well, it stands for staked ETH, right? It's a little abbreviation there. But what you can do with these tokens is you can continue to take part in DeFi, right? So you have this staked ETH token, and then you can go and you can use that staked ETH token to go and earn a yield somewhere else, or you can go and put it up somewhere else and borrow against it. You can do all these different things and earn extra yield, or just be active with those tokens so you don't have to sit completely inactive. Now, the only difference there is that, obviously, if you want to come back and redeem the Ethereum that you staked, you got to have those liquid tokens with you. But I think that's where the benefit of something like this really comes. One of the big questions that I got from this in-person event was, guys, can you talk about the security differences? What does it look like from a security or like a risk standpoint? And I was like, you know what? This is a great question because I'm going to be talking to some of the Lido guys here just a week later. So can you kind of walk us through that? For people who are wondering, especially in light of some of the hacks and exploits and stuff that we've seen this year, I think it's freaked people out and they say, hey, I don't want to do anything too crazy with my funds here. What are like the main differences?
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree with you more. Like, I've definitely gotten more questions than I ever have from clients asking, well, how is Lido secured? How many smart contract auditing events have taken place? Has there ever been any slashing events? Obviously, with what's happening with AI, it's become a real hot topic. And I think ultimately it's up to the end user to decide what level of, I suppose, involvement they want to have. Like you mentioned at the beginning there's obviously tens of thousands of people using centralized exchanges to stake, which, to be honest, kind of blows my mind. Why would you spend 25% on fees to stake your ETH when you could go with other providers like Lido and only spend 10%? And you're getting the same product. But like ultimately, staking is kind of a sticky business. Like once people start staking, they tend not to rotate it that much. I suppose the key difference with Lido, and one of the things that we're incredibly proud of, is that Lido is heavily battle tested. It's been around for a significant amount of time. There's never been any slashing events. We've spent millions, I think 4 or 5 million, on smart contract auditing. We've opened bug bounties. And one of the things that I think most people are quite proud of with Lido is that it's a middleware. So by that I mean nothing is actually staked with Lido. It's distributed or decentralized, depending on what language you want to use, among 900 different node operators. So one of the big benefits of that is there's no single point of failure. So if you go and compare that to a centralized exchange, that means it's centralized. It's one provider. They manage everything end to end. And again, like you mentioned, they do that incredibly well, but there is that centralization risk. Whereas with Lido, because it's so diversified and decentralized, you don't have that single point of failure. And there's huge value in that. And that's definitely something that, again, as we're speaking to more clients about AI and the risks around that, being able to say that Lido is the largest liquid staking protocol, I think 15 billion TVL, 9 million ETH staked, there's a huge amount of trust there. And there's an incredible amount of work happening behind the scenes to make sure that smart contracts are audited. We recently got Web3 SOC compliance, CERTA certification, I think an A plus rating there. So being able to say that we're this battle tested and we're so focused on mitigating and managing risk is kind of the big draw for our clients right now.
You know what slows teams down more than anything? It's not always headcount, budget, or even the tools themselves. It's when the way work gets done lives in someone's head and never actually gets documented. Then someone new joins, a new platform gets rolled out, or a teammate leaves, and suddenly everyone's doing the same process in a different way. That's exactly the problem today's sponsor, Scribe, was built to solve. Scribe is a workflow AI platform that captures any workflow in real time and turns it into a step-by-step documentation automatically. You just turn on the extension, do the process like you normally would, and Scribe builds the guide as you go, capturing every click, step, and screenshot. And it's already trusted by over 80,000 enterprises, including nearly half of the Fortune 500. With our team being remote, I have definitely had moments where I've had to explain the same setup or process more than once to a colleague, and it always feels like something that should have been documented the first time. With Scribe, what could take hours of writing, screenshots, and cleanup can be ready to share in under a minute. Scribe also automatically redacts sensitive information like names, emails, and account numbers from screenshots. Admins can enforce that across the team so nothing slips through the cracks. Plus, anyone following the process can get real-time on-screen guidance showing exactly where to click inside the actual tool. And Scribe doesn't just document workflows. It uses AI to suggest ways to improve them, helping you spot redundant steps, bottlenecks, and places to simplify. To book a personalized enterprise demo, visit scribe.how/crypto101. That's scribe.how/crypto101. One thing I love about summer is everything's just getting easier. You're outside more, you're taking vacations, and it's the time where you're really not trying to overthink every outfit. You just want stuff that feels good, works, and sometimes is a little cool. That's why I keep coming back to Quince. They make those pieces that you end up just wearing all season. For me, it's the 100% European linen shirt and the matching linen pants. That has become one of my go-to beach vacation outfits. I've gotten so many compliments on it. It's breathable, it's comfortable, it looks put together, but it still feels relaxed. You can literally wear this thing going to the beach all day, walking by the water for a sunset, and then head straight to dinner later, feeling completely comfortable and looking fashionable. And that's really what Quince does well. Their 100% European linen pants and shirts are easy to wear, perfect for summer, and the price is unbelievable. And they start at literally just $34. They also have soft tees you can wear all day, plus lightweight cotton sweaters that are perfect for when the temperature drops a little at night. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They work directly with ethical factories and cut out the middleman, so you're paying for exceptional quality, not the brand markup. And it's not just clothing. Quince has become one of those brands people trust for home, travel, and everyday essentials too. You've heard me talk about their website before. It's super fun to scroll around. They literally have everything. So make your summer wardrobe easier. Go to quince.com/crypto101 for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/crypto101 for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/crypto101.
No, it's a great point. I know Ethereum as an ecosystem right now is under a little bit of maybe stress or under a little bit of fire, right? You kind of see the sentiment online, crypto, Twitter, other places. Just a little bit of disgruntled behavior from maybe the average retail person. And I've seen you kind of previously talk about this. I think you said Ethereum was feeling something like, I think it was like unloved was the term you used. And despite kind of the major institutional adoption that we've seen, there's still maybe this feeling of just unloved right now. Now, maybe that is frustration from just price being down, I think, farther than people expected. Maybe that's just price being down longer than people expected. I think that's probably playing a pretty big role here. But do you think that sentiment has like genuinely shifted from last year to this year, from 2025 to 2026? And what kind of drove the change, if any, in this sentiment that you're seeing?
Yeah, I genuinely think the sentiment is improving from an institutional perspective. Like, I can definitely say from the institutional department that I run, like, we've never had so much ETH being staked from institutions, so much institutional conversations. Wisdom Tree launched the first Lido staked ETH ETP in December. Like, there's been terrific things happening. You can also see what the DATs have achieved. Like, I think that's a terrific momentum that hadn't happened last year. You can see what BlackRock has done with the ETHB product and getting that launched. But I think the tailwinds are not really crypto specific. I think there's a lot of macro stuff happening. And then obviously with the AI hype right now, I think that's probably taken a lot of money out of the market. I think a lot of the money that would have went into altcoins like ETH or Solana, I think that's probably sitting on the sidelines right now, or may have gone into AI. Maybe it's waiting to see what happens with the SpaceX IPO. I think there's a lot of interesting things in the market right now, but from an Ethereum perspective, like, I'm incredibly bullish. Like, my view on this is, if you're going to place a bet on a network, you place a bet on the one with the most money behind it and the most developers. And that is effectively Ethereum. And then the other thing I always say is the big guys like the BlackRocks, the Fidelities, the Franklin Templetons, they don't place bad bets. And they're all building on Ethereum for a reason.
So you said that you've seen more activity and maybe more love from the institutional side, especially when it comes to staking. Does that mean that the negativity that we're seeing is mostly retail reaction and that the institutional side is doubling down? Is there like a divergence or a disconnect there between maybe how retail is looking at this and behaving and then how the institutional side is?
Yeah, well, to your point before, like, people want price to go up.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, like anything in life, you know, like the tide goes out, the tide comes in, price goes up, price goes down. Whereas I think if you're an institutional investor or you're a big BlackRock or a big institution of that size, you're not thinking in months or years, you're thinking in decades.
Yeah.
So again, I think the average retail investor wants to see profits incredibly quickly. Whereas again, the big guys know they look at a longer time horizon. And again, I've never been more bullish. Like, all the conversations I'm having, these guys are actively looking at the space, not just from a staking perspective, but also from a tokenization perspective. And Like I've been in crypto 10 years. Like when I used to walk into meetings, you'd spend the first 15, 20 minutes trying to explain to someone that blockchain and Bitcoin wasn't the same thing. And now I'm attending ETF conferences and the entire conference is about tokenization. Like I never thought that would happen.
Yeah, tokenization has come a long way. Let me tell you why. It feels like every podcast or interview that we do over here, it comes up in one way or another. And, I think people have a hard time understanding like just how much these institutions want to bet on it or they want to believe in it. They hear about it, and then I think it goes over a lot of people's heads initially because it's not happening instantly, right? It's not something like, oh, tokenization hasn't been finished in a year, 2 years, 3 years. And it's not like that. I think things again move a little bit slower. And so that, I don't know, maybe makes people have less conviction in it because, like, why hasn't this been fully adopted yet? And it's like, well, that's just not how traditional finance works. It's a very slow process over there. And over here in crypto, we're used to things moving at a million miles an hour. So we adopt things really fast. We build things really fast. We also break things really fast, which is why we get some volatility in the price action, and you get some pretty big market moving events. But to your point from earlier, I want to talk about some of these ETFs and ETPs because you've seen a big push to get staking into all these different traditional financial products in relation to Ethereum, but even other products that you can stake. I know the WisdomTree staked Ethereum ETP is a big one for you all because that's actually using Lido's STETH. I think I read somewhere that that reportedly involved like 450 due diligence questions in like a year's time or something, which is just a lot that goes into it. And so what that shows to me is that, like, number one, they care. They're spending a lot of time, effort, resources to make sure that this stuff works for them as like a major institution. I mean, you're talking about multi-billion, sometimes multi-trillion dollar asset managers that are looking into this stuff. And then the other one, just in regards to Ethereum staking as a whole, was, Grayscale, right? Grayscale distributed its Ethereum staking rewards directly to ETF holders for the first time in US history just a little while ago. And so you see this process from the institutional side getting increasingly more involved and interested in the staking side. Any thoughts on any of that?
Yeah, well, it kind of goes back to like what you mentioned there with like retail wants things now and institutions, it just takes so long. Like with the WisdomTree example, so we were definitely speaking to them for probably a year, year and a half, 350 questions, I think maybe 450 questions, but that's the kind of level of detail you have to get into. So like getting them comfortable with the smart contract risk again. How do you manage events if there is a slashing incident? Anything and everything you could think of, right down to the what do you do if it's raining outside? That's the level of granularity these guys get into. Because ultimately, it's reputational risk. Like these are tier one public institutions and their clients trust them tremendously. So WisdomTree and others have to go through a significant amount of DD if they're to launch a new asset. And like I'm incredibly proud to have worked with kind of the WisdomTree team there. They're fantastic at what they do. And they definitely kept us on our toes. They asked incredibly intelligent questions. And just to be able to work with them and see how they think about launching a product was incredibly interesting. So the WisdomTree product is the first Lido staked ETP
No.
globally. It was also the first product to be 100% staked. So again, the context of that would be most of or all of the other natively staked ETPs in Europe, they're typically only staked between 50 and 60%. And the reason for that is they keep a proportion liquid for redemptions when people want to get out of our position. But because staked ETH is so liquid, you're actually able to offer 100% staked product, which is far better if you're an investor, because instead of you only getting half the reward rate with Lido and the WisdomTree product, you're able to get the full 3%, let's say. Staking rewards, right?
I think about 25% of Ethereum is staked right now at the time of us making this. Would you expect that number to go up as institutions get more involved? Because Because from my viewpoint, again, like we've talked about, institutions tend to have more of a longer term mindset and approach to this. You know, they're going to keep some on hand for redemptions and other things like that. But I would imagine that as more of these asset managers and banks and whoever get in and they want to offer staked ETH, you'd imagine that that probably attracts a more long-term investor as opposed to a shorter-term trader. And so if that's the case, then you would have to think that the amount of staked Ethereum in terms of overall percent would likely go up. And I think that that would be a net positive for the whole ETH ecosystem. But I don't know, am I looking at
Oh,
that the right way?
I think you're right. Like, my view is like, there's no reason to keep unstaked ETH. Like, you should be staking it. It is the risk-free rate. And we have, again, a ton of clients, they view that the exact same way. Like, why would you get into an ETP or any type of fund where 20, 40, 50%, whatever it may be, is left unstaked? Because ultimately, that's affecting the rewards that you're getting. Like, it's very easy for me to put two products in front of a client and say, one will give you the full 3% staking rewards rate, the other will give you 1.5. Which are you realistically going to choose, especially if the other product is heavily diversified?
Yeah. Well, Keen, we really appreciate your time here. Thank you for speaking with us and going through all this. If people want to learn more about what you're doing at Lido, they want to get involved in liquid staking, or maybe they just want to follow either yourself or Lido on the journey, where can they find you at?
Sure. So if people want to reach out to me, it's Keen Gilbert on LinkedIn and at Keen underscore Gilbert on X. And then from Lido, you can find that on lido.fi on the website, and all the social links will be there.
Perfect. Well, Keen, thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time. And man, we'll have to have you back soon as things progress.
Brilliant. Thanks so much.